Left off yesterday with the explanation of Rashi, the correct explanation offered by Benny. Probably many of you would have offered the same thing. Rashi had explained the Gemara about Suma. The Gemara explained the reason why Suma in Latan is Pesulma according to Rabbi Meir. It's because Rabbi Meir believes that Sumas fall down. Nechbetes al gabe karka. And the Gemara asked, but that's true for all girls. The answer the Gemara gives is that that all girls see the blood and show it to their mothers, and Rashi says their mothers paskin, their mukaseitz, and therefore if she gets married mecheskas mukaseitz and doesn't tell the husband, then that is a mekach taos. Whereas if she's blind, she doesn't show it to her mother, she doesn't know she's a mukaseitz, she doesn't realize it, in which case everybody knows that this happens to blind people because they fall down and won't show it to the mothers, and therefore when he writes her ksuba of Masayim and his konis are, he does so on the assumption she very well likely might be not a basula, might be a mukaseitz. Okay, and therefore there's no tos involved. So Tosfos had a problem. So let's take a look at Tosfos. Adir.
Kulu?
Yes.
Kulu rod umarod liman. Persha kunchus uposkoda lehen shehen bulod bimloho diato hatato.
So that's pretty strong. The kasha lefeirusho.
Kasha lefeirusho. Da liba the Rabbi Meir kaiminan. The Rabbi Meir itle beperkama. The mukat eitz ben hikirba ben lo hikirba matayim.
Okay. So this is the main. This is the kasha that Tosha says. There is another question actually. The Ritva quotes it in the name of I think Rabbeinu Tam. So I'll come to that question in a second, but this is the question that everybody quotes. That this statement of Suma is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a mukaseitz is ksubasas masayim bein hikirba bein lo hikirba, whether he knew beforehand or not. And that implies what?
Certainly not a mekach
tos
if he didn't know, because you have
a
case of
even if he doesn't know, right? Lo hikirba, and he still has to give to he still is ksubasa masayim. So there are a couple of this seems like to be a very very good question, right? This is not Tosa suggesting maybe, you know, maybe Rashi's pshat shouldn't work because maybe the Braisa thinks like Rabbi Meir. This is a case where the Braisa is befeirush Rabbi Meir. The famous Rabbi Meir. So we're going to look at Tosfos' answer in a moment, but Rashi knew something too. What was Rashi thinking? Adin?
What was your question on Rashi again? Exactly.
What was Tosfos' question on Rashi?
Yeah,
not my question.
What was
the question is why? What should I have to talk about Mekach Tos? If the din is that even if you don't know that she's a mukaseitz, you marry her becheskes.
Where do you assume it's
on a mekach tos? Rashi says that in the case of a mukaseitz who fell, and she showed her mother, and her mother said, "Honey, you're a mukaseitz now," and she didn't tell him, "It's atu."
Okay, perfect.
Double
checking.
Fallen into a poorly constructed trap. In my opinion,
I think. Yeah. No, I just wanted to clarify to make sure that we were on the same page.
Right, and that's what Tosos says.
Okay, so for Tosos, one thing that I want to distinguish is that something that we believed on the daf previously was, and we're going to find that Tosos disagrees with Rashi in the definition here of Tanas Kasura. The same distinction that we had in the previous Amud, but now in the flip, where we talk about, does Tanas Kasura mean that the Baal does have a claim, or that she would win? Right, previous off, Rashi had said she would win. Tosos had said he wouldn't have a claim. She's just mechaskas. She's mechaskas at least mechaseitz. Same thing here, but now in verse. Rashi believes.
Yeah. Okay.
Rashi here believes that the Baal has no taina when it comes to a suma. Right?
And so he should have known that anyway.
He has no ability to make a claim. Right? Right. Tosos, with the answer we haven't read yet, is going to be that
we're towing on her behalf.
That we're towing on her behalf. So one, it's important to realize that Rashi's not talking about the final din in the case yet, as much as beginning with, does he have a tainas besulim or not?
Right.
Right? So, with that, I believe what Rashi's saying is, and also with, as you see throughout Rameir throughout the entire first parak, but it means a bein hikarba, bein lo hikarba. A bein lo hikarba case is easily, she did not say that, she did not disclose the fact that she was a besula, and the Baal brings her to Beis Din, has a tainas besulim, and then we have to solve the case afterwards. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not to bring her to Beis Din with. I believe Vihitaso is not that Vihitaso, and therefore it is a Mekaf Tos, and it is entire, she's lost her Ksuba. Rather, you're just saying that Vihitaso, it's enough of a Hata that she should be brought to Beis Din.
I'll tell you why. I mean, that's a different chalomos. And in the second Rashi, but what?
There's a lot to this.
I'm willing to listen.
I mean,
that's a huge chiddush.
I mean, if you read through as Rashi reads it, is that right? She is being informed that she does not have a. She's being told you do not have a besulim anymore.
You mean by the mothers?
By the mothers are telling her you don't have a besulim anymore.
Right.
And she didn't tell the husband. The husband in some way has been trained. But I think even for the Remeir believes that if you were a low hikar bamukas eitz, there is certainly a hata, but not a hata gemura in the way that you'd have a mekach tos. I don't think anyone disagrees with the idea that he's certainly been wronged in some way. It's just not enough to make her lose her ksuba. We understand that the hikarba and a low hikarba, certainly. I think it would be, of course, it's ridiculous for Rashi to assume it's how so would mean that she loses her ksuba, because that would make no sense. But since our Mishnah, our Gemara is talking about, does he have the right to make a claim in Beis Din? He certainly was wronged enough to ask the very good inquisitive question of where were your besula. And it certainly was wronged enough that he should go to Beis Din and has a tainas besula.
I don't think there is a shoresh to this idea that Rashi says im lo hidatu hitatu, but in the second one of lav ta'usu, that's not. A guy can go to Beis Din for any reason when he doesn't know.
Well, we didn't say the same thing in the daf before, now, did we? Daf before we were fine with the chilek about whether he can or can't make. Right.
No, the assumption is everybody goes to Beis Din, but the question is what happens when they go to Beis Din?
So
sometimes we tell a guy in Beis Din. There are two things happen in Beis Din.
Sometimes we tell him, "Take care of your mind," sometimes we tell her, "What's your answer?"
No. I've stated this. Sometimes we tell him. We give the answer for her, or she gives an answer. Sometimes maybe the same thing you said. Then tell him, "What in God's name were you thinking? What have you been doing coming here?" But that has to come after they go to Beis Din. When Rashi says here, hit'atu or lav ta'usu, so that's not referring to his right to go to Beis Din. That's referring to what happens in Beis Din. That's how Tosus understood it 100% correctly. The fact that you're bothered by Tosus' kasha is not a reason for turning Rashi upside down.
If you look at the next Rashi, I just need to find it because I have this on this here.
What do you think it means?
I think it means that a man can't make a claim about her.
No.
That's not
I don't think that's what posekala means.
Wait, what does posekala mean?
No one can make any statement about her prior to. It's like the person, the posek is like taking roughly the role of the emos beforehand.
You're saying those
right.
The word posek is by both?
What? Yes.
Alright, so what does the word posek mean?
It means makes a determination.
The ain't out of posik aleha?
No, poskos aleha she'enam basulos. The mothers make a determination for them. She explained to them, this is what happened. This
Wait,
is your
explain or make a determination? Is this a search for one pasnik?
Is this what?
Is this about a woman making a psak?
Sorry, even though the only Dan Rishonim says that woman that I know of says that a woman who knows enough can paskin Mashiach, but this you can't add Rashi to the list. Okay, they can paskin Matthias according to Rashi, but not necessarily halacha. So the point is the ein adam posek aleha means that no one tells her, and I think the assumption is here zek shaknasa. Interesting question. I will say one thing. I will say, Benny, this might give chias amesim to my kasha. Because the question is, why does it matter for Rashi and then posek aleha? One second. Let me finish with him, okay? I still have my battles from yesterday to fight.
Yeah,
the point is, zeshe knasa becheskas nechbetas knasa, that should be enough. No, v'lav tosu. Means he knew. What is v'ein adam posek aleha doing there? Why does that no one told her, why does that make a difference in whether it was a tuss or not? All that matters. So you're reading, going to read, Ein Adam Posek Aleha. See, here's my problem. It should have said Vizesh Knasa Bechesas Napetas Knasa De'ein Adam Posek Aleha. In other words, when you explain Rashi, which I thought yesterday was correct, and I still think is probably correct, is that the reason why it's a Tos in the first case is because the fact that she doesn't say anything means that she's Becheskas Napi and Mukasets. A regular girl, since her mother would tell her, her silence implies, I'm not a mukasetz, and therefore it's a toast when it turns out she is a mukasetz. Whereas, ze'ein arov ein amara le'ima, it should have been, de'ein adam posek aleha, v'zeh sheknasa b'cheslas nechbetes kenasa. Because no one's going to tell her, he knows that she doesn't know. And so then he knows that she doesn't know that she might be that she's a mukasetz. He knows when he's konis her that she could very well be mukasetz. It shouldn't be a surprise to him.
So in the day, that's how he was reading the re into Rashi.
No. Can I finish with him? You'll get your chance.
I
promise you a day in court. I Benny, you understand what I'm saying? It is odd. Why does he say that there? But, okay, now putting that aside, Schlein points out correctly, the Ein Adam Posek Aleha is just the analog to Ze Posk Maris L'Imon or Posk Yusan Aleha. So normally a regular girl who sees her mother...
I'm reading what you said in Seder.
Granted. I gave that conclusion soon after he finished.
Okay. You feel like he's just stuck a knife in your back, huh?
No, yeah, I didn't. Exactly.
What you're saying was perfectly right. Go say it to Rebbe.
No, this helps you.
Okay. So I don't know. So Rashi... I almost want to be magia de'ein adam posek aleha. V'lav tosu. If I could be magia de'vav to adalim, that would solve the problem. And it would leave your reading intact, and it's correct. Because if you don't say that, then what is ein adam posek aleha? Once you've said he's knasa b'chesas nechbetes, you add another point. Ein adam posek aleha means no one tells her. Who cares if anybody tells her or not? In other words, after he knows already. In other words, if you say de'ein adam posek aleha, and therefore her silence, he doesn't take to be indication that she's not a mukasetz, right? That's what I would say. So I'm comfortable making that haga. Okay, therefore v'lav tosu, since he had no expectation. It can't be considered a toes. If he had had an expectation, it would be a toes. I don't think this means a right to go to Beis Din. I think this means he goes to Beis Din, and then he says, look, this woman didn't tell, you know, she's not a Pesula. And now she wants to say, you know, she's a Mukasetz. So Rashi says, well, that's a toes, because he expected her not to be Mukasetz, because had she been a Mukasetz, which she would have known, because her mother would have told her, she would have said something. In fact, that she covered it up, he walked in assuming one thing, she covered it up, and turns out it was another. But Asuma, he knows going in, doesn't know that she's not a Mukasetz. When he discovers she's not a Psula, and she says, I must be a Mukasetz. Now, I remember a story happened. So he knew in the first place, going in, that if something would have happened that would have made her into a Mukasetz, that she wasn't necessarily going to know. So when he married her in the first place, he knew there was a fairly good chance she could turn out to be a Mukasetz.
Oh, is it now?
That's what Rashi says. That's how Tosfos understood Rashi, and that is what Rashi says. Okay, I'm done. I'm satisfied with my Haggah of a Dalad. Benny, while he's going to war with him, just look in the back to see if anybody's Magia the Rashi, or if there's Shinei Chos and Rashi anywhere. I don't see anything. Likute Rashi, no, it's not going to be there. See if I can find something in the back.
For you, also, I just want to know, is the Imlo Hodiato is at which part in time?
When they were getting married. Her mother, she knew, when she fell before they got married, obviously, that we agree, right? The fall has to be before Averson. Otherwise, it's a mum that happens after Averson, right?
So Imlo Hodiato, when was she supposed to inform her?
You can decide whether it should have been the first date, the third date, when he gets down on his hands with a ring to do kiddushin for Erison.
You made it sound like that she's been accused in basin, and she should at that point also make sure to say Mugan States. If she doesn't say Mugan States, then she would not be believed at all.
No. The assumption here. The assumption here is that it comes into Beis Din if she now wants, she's now claiming Mukasetz. The point is that to be Modiah him means she should have told him, not now, before they got married.
She's now claiming Mukasetz?
Yes. Yes. That's correct. But, Asuma, you don't expect would have told him because she doesn't know.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I still think, from the daf before, we certainly made such an idea.
Let's talk about the daf before. Let's just do a little chazar for my benefit, okay?
Yeah.
So the Gemara had a stira, between, let's say Rashi read it first. We'll first do Rashi. The Gemara had a stira about chereshes, whether, let's pretend for the moment that Bryce says, yesh latan spesum and tan spesum, keep it simple, okay? So Rashi says that what it means is the following. Chereshes gets married. There's a fairly good possibility that a chereshes, she might have been a mukasetz, the way Tosa said. She might have been nensa after she was nisarsa. Meaning, he finds she's not a psula. She's not a psula. And the question is why? She can't say anything. So Rashi says that if she would have nemonus, we taina on her behalf. Okay, which happens to be, by the way, Tosa's position here about Suma. I agree, it happens to be flipped. Tosa says no. The machlokas is, it seems to be machlokas and matzias, whether or not a chireshes is becheskas mukasetz. Tosus doesn't spell it out in the way we would like.
And if someone is becheskas mukaseitz,
what does that
mean in court?
So, if she's becheskas mukaseitz,
there's two ways of basing.
So one second. So the first brisa that assumes that she's not becheskas mukaseitz, which means that she, well, for Tosus actually men and have yeshul tans besum. Tosus just says she has no class because she's becheskas mukaseitz. I think it's easier. Tosus doesn't want to explain yeshul tans besum at all.
Yeah.
All right. So he says she gets no. The first brisa. We don't know what he would say. We don't know what he would say when it comes to tainis besula. That we don't. Tosus doesn't know. But yesh lo knas because she's assumed to be a besula. Okay. Second brisa says ein lo tainis besula. That means that should she turn out not to be a besula, we explain on her behalf that she was either in Nensa, Mishin, and Sarsa. We come up with a taina which she could have made, according to Rabbi Gamliel, for which she would have believed, and we advance that taina on her behalf.
Rashi is the one who makes the taina.
What's that?
You said Tosos.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tosos just says, we tell him, buddy, good morning. She's probably, you should have known she was Mukasei, it's going in.
Yeah, so that's whether it's this or whether, yeah.
Let's say like that.
So I believe Rashi's saying that one, right here.
Right, Rashi's saying, hello, buddy, what do you mean? You knew, and you should have known in advance going in, she was blind. You know, I'll even add the little details in the way the way Pinchas said. You know, she falls down all the time. She doesn't know.
Let's say she's not a Suma.
Right.
Would you say that to him?
No, because
he... What would you say to him instead?
What would... If she's not a Suma...
He comes in and says, I love Masul Mitzati. If it's a Suma in the court case, we would say that. If it's not, if the Suma is not in the court case, and it's a regular woman, what
the way Rashi, so the Rashi would say that the husband, she says Mukasetan, and she says, how come you didn't tell me?
No, Rashi would say anything about what her claim is.
I know, but the point is,
Rashi
but the better. Assumption is that lo hodiatu etatu, so she should have.
When he was in the when he comes basin.
She says she's not. He says, I found she's not a psula.
And then what would basin say after that?
They would turn to her and ask why.
Perfect.
Okay.
And they would say, clearly he has been led astray. You need to answer that question.
Right.
Perfect. That's what Rashi is. Doesn't make any assumption about what the din of the case is.
Correct, but we know what she's ultimately going to say. Not what the,
we don't know what she's.
Of course, we do. We know what happened to Matias. Presumably, she's going to tell
sorry.
The truth.
Presumably, so one, yeah, sorry.
She's going to say, "Oops, you know, I didn't tell you. When I was five, you know, I fell off the swing
and
set. I became Mukasetz."
And she can regain him for that she was Mukasetz, and she'd be believed, and she would get her ksuba.
Then what's Hitatu?
Hitatu is that he's been wronged enough that he's that we then turn to her and fair. Say, "You need to answer."
Do you have anything question. To add to the Schlein?
I think a strong support when it comes to.
The next Rashi of Vezeh Sheknasa Becheskas. I assume that's the only other Rashi on this.
Sorry. Yeah.
Vezeh Vezeh Inu Roa Veinu Mar Lima. Vezeh Sheknasa Becheskas Nechpeta Nechpetes Knasa. Will you accept my haga?
No.
The end of the.
We don't care about the dollar above.
Right,
okay. You accept? Can I? Does council accept that emendation to the record?
Yeah, I don't see any reason not to.
Okay. Fine.
I don't think I really even understand what the difference would be.
Vizesh Sheknasa Becheskas Nechbetnes Knasa, not that number one, he assumes she wasn't a psula. Number two, no one tells her. Doesn't matter, the fact alone that she knows or doesn't know has no impact upon whether to tell us or not.
If we compare,
except my Dalit Shua. So the point is, Rashi says that he married her. Knasa becheskas nachbetas knasa dena than posek aleha. Now,
if you make it a dollar, it is more. Yeah, I'm not going to accept the dollar.
You're not going to accept the dollar. Well, then you're going to have to explain.
It's easier for me, I think, to say. Well, I still don't understand the adam posek aleha. Is you're really saying that no one tells her?
That's what it means. That's what the word means.
Hold on, one second. It took you a few minutes to tell me what the word posek means.
Her mother doesn't give her status. Her mother gives her information.
So now you're saying posek means information.
What the word posek means?
She's
yes, it is.
It doesn't
posak, posak in effect means to make a decision. It doesn't be a halachic decision. The mother looks at the sees what happened. She says, "Honey,
exactly." But it's not telling her. It's saying, "Look, this is now you."
Well, obviously the mother told her because otherwise her not telling him with the minotos.
Yeah, of course. But I want
to
argue that.
Ain adam posek aleha is no one knows. No one makes the decision to inform. Makes a decision and thereby informs her that she's a mukasetz.
If we compare this with the language to us, which with language the reuses on the previous one.
Yes, but you can't because it's Rashi talking. But yes.
No, the point is when the re is offering his alternative explanation of inline times with suman for achireshes.
Yeah, lefishu becheskas mukasetzi.
Yeah. So
yeah,
how do you explain that?
The same way we would explain this. In other words, if he comes into court and says, "My wife was not a psula," we look at him and say, "Duh, she's becheskas mukasetz."
Exactly.
Okay.
Precisely. That's the difference.
And here he walks into court and says, "My blind wife is not a psula," and they say, "Duh, becheskas mukasetz."
Right,
what were you thinking?
So we don't show. So there's no response needed from her. Like his claim isn't even accepted.
What's that?
His claim doesn't get off the ground. He doesn't have any starting point.
Yes, we do believe him. We believe him.
If I'm walking into court after marrying an almana and making a time of pesula.
You mean a ba'ula, not an
almana? No,
almana. Almana means pesula.
Okay, thank you. That's fine. Okay. So again, I agreed. But what is that?
So what I'm saying is the flip case here is not that. Right, we're just talking about that very simple point. And if Rashi is just arguing that Asuma has no time specific, time specific merely mean whether or not his claim gets off the ground. When you flip it to the non-Suma, does that necessarily need to be the opposite? Is that he gets no money?
Yes.
Why should it be? Rather, she must respond to the Tainus Pesulim. That would be the opposite of he has a Tainus Pesulim would be, and here he does
have
a Tainus Pesulim, and you have to respond.
I don't think so.
That is the exact opposite. That would be the reverse.
I understand. Listen, I could argue by Suma.
Without the word...
I could argue by Suma. I'll tell you the following. By a Suma, she does have to probably say the following. She probably has to say... She might even have to say, "I never slept with a guy." And now we as the Beis Din say, okay, but she doesn't know, and we're going to say on her behalf, because she doesn't know that how this came about. She says she didn't sleep with a guy, and there's a plausible explanation for it, so we'll fill it in for her. Ocheresh can't respond. She's not intelligent enough to do so. I don't see... In other words, whenever a guy has tainas basulim, she can always come up with an answer. I understand that, but the point is, when you say yesh, I think that's clear here that yesh latanas basulim means that if she didn't tell him, it's a tos. Now, tos doesn't refer to the fact when what it doesn't refer to his discovering the night that she's not a basula. Tos refers to hit atu means she engaged in deception when she married him.
We sort of agree.
And that
we agree. I just don't think that's.
And the implication when you engage in deception, you marry him, is that you lose.
That's what? Totally wrong, and you know that's wrong.
Because it's
contradictory. You know that if he, Ben Hikrba, Ben Lo
Hikrba,
even if she...
No, you're asking an external kasha. Yes. You can't do that. I am sorry. You cannot do that. Because you're bothered by the kasha from earlier. Find a teretz, not a cop-out.
No, what are you talking about?
It is, that's not what it means.
All I'm saying is that we know Remeir holds.
Firstly, he doesn't say, by the way, he does not... I want to make a point to you, because this could be one of the answers. He doesn't say, on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Beis, you know, Ben Hitatu, Ben Lo Hitatu. He says, Ben Hikrba, Ben Lo Hikrba.
Yeah. So?
There's a difference between the two, possibly.
And the low hikirba is what? Was that not hitatu?
Talking about it from her perspective.
Was not this exact hitatu?
Hikirba wouldn't make any sense.
What's
if
that?
Representing what she does, then using the lashon of low hikirba wouldn't make any sense. But representing what she's doing in this case.
I'm not convinced that this is what Rashi means. I refuse to... I think that's absolutely wrong when you say hit'atu versus lav ta'usu, but it makes no difference in terms of the outcome. I absolutely disagree with you. But consider the following possibility. Is there a difference between a situation... Go back to my Mekach Poos issues. Is there a possibility that Rashi thinks that there's a difference between malignance on the part of the actor and not? In other words... Is there a difference between a situation... Would Rabbi Meir say the same thing? This is someone who asked me on Sunday. If she actively concealed it from him. Not even whether she knew or didn't know, but whether she actively concealed it from him.
How would it be active?
Let's say she knew of the information. Somehow we know, don't ask me now, that she obviously realized it was relevant and she chose not to tell him.
Okay,
see, hikirba, lo hikirba is a phrase from his vantage point. In other words, let's take the case she didn't know at all. Let's take the case she didn't know at all. Right? Is it conceivable that Rabbi Meir only said lo hikirba if she didn't know?
Isn't our Gemara basically saying we should assume any sighted person knows?
Yes.
Okay. So
No. Most sighted people may know.
I think our claim certainly here is if you're a sighted person, you have, like, this is making an assumption that she would have known.
Probably. All Rashi is doing is stating, since most sighted people know their mukaseids, whereas most blind people, when they're mukaseids, don't know their mukaseids, when he marries a sighted person, his assumption is she's not a mukaseids. When he marries a blind person, he should have known that she could very well be a mukaseids.
If, I just want to know, if Rashi didn't have the word hitato, right? I didn't have that word.
Yeah.
Do you think that would work out for Rashi?
No, you still have a kasha.
What kasha do I still have in Russia?
Again, what is why would you say according to Rabbi, and the kasha still remains for Rabbi Meir, what shayach here if she is in fact a mukas eitz? If the issue with Suma is that she's a mukas eitz, so there's a difference between she who's... The Gemara implies there's a difference between... This I think we can agree. The Gemara's implying there's a difference between a regular girl who's a mukaseitz and a suba's a mukaseitz, right?
Because
they're both about chabut and mechabtan.
Yeah.
Now, according to Rabbi Meir, if the issue is about what she's entitled to, whether or not she told him about being mukaseitz or not, so it would seem you really have a kasha from Rabbi Meir. Right, as for Rabbi Meir, who cares? That's Tosus's question.
Sure.
You're suggesting for Rashi that we're just having a discussion over whether or not he should come to Beis Din or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's what Rashi is saying. Is that the whether the husband... Again, Tainus Basulim is never about whether the husband should come to Beis Din or not.
Tainus
Basulim is when the husband comes to Beis Din, does he have a... There are two issues.
Does he have a claim? I think Rashi's talking about him not having a claim.
We agree on that. In one case, in which case? The first or the second?
In the Summa case,
he has no claim.
He has no claim, and that's all it means when it says Ein Latanas Basulim.
I agree. And what about in the first case where it's implied, yesh lo tainas
besulim? That he certainly has tainas besulim. How you respond to tainas besulim, that's a different fact. But
he doesn't have tainas besulim because she's a mukas eitz. He has tainas besulim because she's not a besula.
100%.
But that's not... But the Gemara...
She never told me that she was anything else. I'm accusing her of being besula. That's what tainas besulim is.
But the Gemara suggests... The Gemara is saying that the difference between a suma, who's a mukas eitz, suma, and as we see, it's a mukas eitz, and a regular girl who's a mukas eitz, is that one yesh tainas besulim, the other ain la tainas besulim.
Princess.
But for you, what generates the tainas besulim?
If you go into Beis Din, and he says you're a beula, I didn't find any besulim, I'm accusing you of being a beula.
Right.
And she just says, I was a mukas eitz from the rest of my life. Is she believed?
If he holds like Rabbi Gamliel.
If he held, I still think not. She has to say I was a mukas eitz from the time of our engagement, migu, before the engagement.
What?
No, throughout the Mishnayos. What does she say? Does she just say mukas eitz on me and then she's believed?
Yeah.
Doesn't she have to say Mukas Eis from after my engagement? Had I said Mukas Eis
before my engagement? No, that's a machlokas for Meir and the Chachamim. Remeir, for Rabbi Meir, it's irrelevant. Because Remeir, lo hik yirvam, means it was there before and he didn't know. And she says, I was a Mukas Eis.
Should I say whatever, as long as she's a Mukas Eis partner of Meir, she'd be believed at any point in time?
Yes.
So that's even more perfect. So we have the Mishnah, in which a guy comes to Beis Din, gives the tithes of Sulim, and she responds according to Remeir, and is believed.
So you're asking, firstly...
Do you think Rashi didn't know that Mishnah when he wrote this
line? The Mishnah is not befeirush when that Mukas Eitz takes place. Okay, I will make that point to you. When Mukas Eitz comes up in the Mishnah, in the Tainis Pesulim part, not in the Din, right? The first part of the parak, leave out the first Mishnah, the first part of the parak deals with the Din. What is she entitled to? The last couple of Mishnayos on Yud, is it Yud Aleph, or Yud Beis Amud Aleph, right? I don't know if it's already on Yud Aleph. And it's not. Shani Beis Amud Aleph, two Mishnayos there. That deals with the dialogue, the Shach and Tire of Tainis Pesulim. When she says Mukas Eitz there, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. When she says Mukas Eitz, maybe you go to Malan Aleph, fine. When she says Mukas Eitz, so it's not clear whether it's not the Feirish whether it's Tatech or not. The basis of saying for Rabbi Meir,
I think that's what the rest of it,
on Yud Aleph and Beis is about.
Yeah.
But it's not the Feirish in the Mishnah.
And it's not befeirush in the Mishnah. And whether she sells it chazaka or whether she has a migu and what proof she brings.
What's not befeirush in the Mishnah is if she were to acknowledge that she was a mukas eitz before and deceived him, it's not clear what the din would be, whether that would be a time. It could be when she says mukas eitz ani, it means tatecha. It doesn't have to be that way. And he says lo ki ela drusas isha.
I think one in general you would see. I mean, the point is we turn to her. And now we'd either look, is there a chazaka that she's using? Is there a migu? Is there a birur or an ashema? Or she can even bring eidim in response about when she was a mukas eitz. Right?
Okay.
But the Mishnah certainly sees that he has a tainas basulim, and our Gemara here is talking about whether or not he has that taina or not. So why is the opposite of whether he has the taina or not, whether she would lose the court case?
No. No, I don't think... Firstly, when you take the Mishnayos Kipshutan... Firstly, all the Mishnayos, when they use the term Yesh Lo Tainas Besulim, they always use it only in the context of deciding whether or not he had grounds to expect that she should have been a Besula or not.
Mm-hmm. Which exactly, I think, how Rashi's using it here.
Right, but no, but the next step is Hitatu. That's unnecessary for you. All Rashi had to have said for you is Vizesh Uposkas and Psulos Vilochain Becheskas Nechbetes Knosa.
Whether or not he has a taina, right? Any time that someone would have a taina, very much because I've been wrong in some way and I'm making a taina.
No, but if you look at this again, according to you, Rashi doesn't even say the key law. You know, if there are three clauses in each one, for you, the Ikars Chaser Min Rashi. In the second Rashi, there are three clauses. One is he's Knosa Becheskas Nechbetes. Two is that Inyan Posekala, and three, it's not a Taos. In the first Rashi, all he talks about is Poskos Alehen and Loho Diatu Itatu. For you, the Iker is Becheska, because what generates his, for you, Tainas Pesulim, is that Becheskas Inanech Betas Kanasa.
One second. Go look at her star. Go look at her get this trying to claim. Does it not say Besula on it?
Yeah, I agree, but what?
I mean, we don't only come the
so does the so does the Sumas. The Sumas also says Basula on it.
Meaning
the Suma says Basul Tadar.
What did he say about Rashi?
No, what it means for Rashi, Danny, is that he knew it. You can write whatever you want. Listen, if anyone, Shaila has come up.
In that case, it's definitely, if he can write whatever he wants, but he was assumed to have known it.
Correct, because he decided he was Mocho.
Then how on earth would we ever take his case seriously in court?
No, the point is that he doesn't, maybe he's not smart enough that he should have known, he should have realized that she might be Nechbetes. But that's not his fault. So the point is, we assume that he should have known and presumably had an inkling, and he said, you know what, I'm going to write a Ksubas Basula anyway, I don't care. So here, he does the same thing.
Of course she had entered Mecheskas Basula.
Correct.
And that's the only reason why he's complaining. You want us to write that out?
He's complaining by the Summa also, but we tell him you're out of your mind. Here he comes and we tell him you're not. Here you're not out of your mind.
And then here you're not out of your mind. And that's what Rashi's saying. You're not out of your mind.
You're not out of your mind. And you
it's not so. You were clearly wrong. We need to turn to her and get her.
Well, you were clearly wrong, but she gets off the hook.
You were clearly wrong.
By what?
Now she needs to respond. By the fact that she
didn't tell you what.
You astray and did not tell you that she's Mukasei.
Ah, who cares?
Who cares? What?
If there are no ramifications, if you're saying.
All I'm saying is. Ah, that's. All I'm saying is he came in and he had a wedding of Basula, right? And then didn't find Basulim, came into court and said, I didn't find Basulim.
Right.
And then what does she respond?
She says, I'm a Mukaseit.
Perfect.
And what do we say then? It's a toast.
I didn't say that.
There's no reason for Rashi to put toast in there.
For the whole point is that whether or not he has the ability to say.
All a guy needs to come into Beis Din.
And say, does the time is
Basula? A guy can walk into Beis Din as soon as he. Has a chazaka,
and I'm pretty sure she has to have some reason why we believe her when she says Mukaseitani.
No, she doesn't. If we believe her, Rabbi Gamliel says she's Nemenes.
I think as the Gemara continues, one they talk: is it Rabbi Shem? Is it chazaka? Or is there has to be some reason that it's not just that she said that she's just Nemenes?
Okay, so I'm happy to take Bari Vashem.
And
that's fine.
Goes down, like it destroys Migos based on the fact.
First, it's not a Migo. There's no Migo there. There's no Migo there.
Right.
No Migo there.
There certainly is a point where we look for the verification of what she says.
At the end of the day, when you get to the last Mishnah, it's just because she's Nemenes. Let's say it's Bari B'Shem, even.
And I believe, right, the whole point is that he has a time because he was certainly wronged. And now she now needs to respond.
No, haven't.
However, when he comes to the Summa, we don't even need to turn to her.
No. When we say, Yesh la tainas besulim, what that means is that he is entitled to have an expectation that she is a basula, and if she's not, she is in the wrong by definition.
Mm-hmm. But she can defend herself.
No. The point is that unless she says it happened, you could say unless she says it happened after the fact.
There's some mishnas about her defending herself after having
and it could be all of those are. Things that she says happen after the marriage. But the point is, and it's only because it happened after the marriage that she has a claim.
And we'll have tons of questions about it.
But she can't, but if it happened before the marriage, she's messed herself over. Because she deceived
him.
Well,
I'm not trying to
remarry
her, but yeah.
Okay.
No?
So, again, you're rereading Rashi. Tosis didn't reread Rashi because it's to be against what he thinks is Rami earlier.
Rashi just threw Rashi out.
I know, but you're not. I don't think that the reads in the words of Rashi. You're just taking the question and totally distorting what Rashi says, as far as I'm concerned. Because you're bothered by the question. I want a better answer than that.
Well, this is what I got for you.
So I lo sakum pamayim tzara. Yes, Sam. All right.
So while this was happening, I was like checking up other things. I couldn't find any akron that said what we said.
That was an ambiguous expression. What was the insider modify? When you insider, you couldn't find, but you found now, or you can't find any. Okay, good.
Is that good or is that bad?
I looked through all the Rashi's I mentioned, like that word hitat, and it seems to be always in a context of mekachtot.
Okay.
So
you're supporting me.
A little, yeah.
And you're stabbing your chavrusa in the back.
but again, this is the type of weeder stuff. Is like looking at, like searching when every time he uses the word throughout Shas. I'm not consistent based on language. this is Londos.
Ben Rashi, though.
Oh. Zach.
Wait,
Sam.
To Ben Rashi, though.
Ah, okay. I'm happy to defend Rashi. I understand what you're saying. I don't like the answer.
I hear why. It's certainly a chiddush on the way of saying tzitzatzo.
Right.
It's not a clear meaning.
Right. And I.
Answered up.
What's that? Okay. Sam, what do you want to...
The Magine Shlomo, whoever that is.
Ah, the Magine Shlomo. No, there's a great story with Magine Shlomo in defending Rashi.
Okay.
Oh,
probably.
Oh,
I'm not familiar with the Sefer. Yes,
that's what he did.
I get it. Once you said that, I realized probably why the Sefer got its name. Who wrote the Sefer?
Sure
the Magine Shlomo. Yeah.
So he says that Rashi never called this case Mukat Zeis. It is a Nosrit, which he makes a distinction, which I'm not exactly sure what the distinction is, but Rashi never describes Mukat Zeis throughout Shas as. They always like
Besul
Abad, and when one case.
Well, no, I'll tell you, Besul Sanosham. Besul Sanosham means it doesn't mean complete destruction, it means partially. In other words, it thins out or something like that.
Besulus, not Ulus.
I'm sorry?
About the Tosos, about Rashi being consistently saying She'ino Besula versus the Ula, which I think plays into if you read Rashi my way. Whatever.
So, Sam, what does he want to say?
That. It's a more complete kind of ruining of the Besula.
Mukaseitz is?
No. So, no shrink.
I think there's evidence in the Rishonim. I just saw something in the Rishonim says the other. No, just assumes the other way. No shrink does not mean complete. Okay. So, I'm looking for an Yazak.
Yeah, Zach. Only one of the Mishnahs in the first parak says Mitatu. And it's the one reason
Yeshua
sent him and asked him, and that's what
Mustafa Sadeu,
and then Rabbi Yeshua
says, Ad Shaloi Rasti, and he says, Rabbi Yeshua says,
but the other case is, even when she says, and he says, Jesus Ish, he doesn't use his Lashon. It sounds like the word means that she came to base and made a claim, and we assume she's lying.
Mm-hmm. Only once? I just thought that was 12. No, I thought it was.
Yeah, it's just the
ones. I would give you one piece of advice about the Mishnah and you can Lamed Aleph. Check the Kisveya that the word Hidatu doesn't appear there. I'm not saying it's there. You should just you have to. You have
there's
to
also
there's
also Rashi on the
Mishnah
that repeats it. He says Menes. So Harizo b'cheskas shenivola ad shelovisaris v'hidasa. Rashi repeats that.
No, I'm saying Rashi. I'm saying you're saying it's only there in your base and base. This is immaterial. Whatever. The bottom line is hitatu would mean she loses. Right? In other words, what Zach is really saying is that read in context, the line Hita'atu implies that according to Rabbi Gamliel, even though she wasn't a besula, she is not considered hitatu because she's in the right. I was quibbling, pointing at something else, but that's fine. Moshe?
Could both Rashi's be dealing with the case where she's absent and silent during the court case? I mean, I guess that's a stretch because we're making assumptions about the court case, but...
Well, no, there's particularly because the Gemara is suggesting that the... That she, I think it's a chilek in din, not a chilek in a taina. I think the case should be essentially identical, except for that which differentiates a summa from a seeing person.
Well, they are identical, just they're identically silent in the court.
Well, but then in the end, why? Who says that she's losing because she's a mukas? It's not because she's a mukas eitz and hitatu. It would be because she might be drusas ish, and she's not saying otherwise.
Right. It doesn't say that she loses because of mukas eitz. It just says.
Oh, no, but Rashi says lo hodiatu hitatu.
Yeah, if she doesn't tell him ever, then...
And then she has deceived him?
Oh, you mean you're saying that means that she actually deceived him, not just what the court says.
Right.
Okay, then never mind.
So, I just want to make a methodological observation. No. Which is... Who says that this sugya is working with that assumption within Rabbi Meir? Remember, there was a machlokas what Rabbi Meir held. And even if there hadn't been a machlokas on what Rabbi Meir held, maybe if you had only Rabbah had commented the Ben Hikabah, maybe that's not shot in the Mishnah. maybe Rashi thinks this sugya would understand Rabbi Meir differently. But I'll be happy to say that Rami Bar Chama claims that lo hikir ba v'lo klum. So if you say that, so Rashi's explanation makes perfect sense.
Like, whose explanation of Rabbi Meir is the one saying in Tosfot?
That's Rava. Rava in the end. Rava number two.
That's fair.
Right? In other words, if you hold like Rami Bar Chama, then it really does matter. In other words, the difference between the two cases, I wish Rashi would have put that line, is in one case, he assumes that she is Becheskas not being Mukaseitz, because she doesn't say anything. And therefore, that's a toast, that's lo hikir ba, and that's a toast. Whereas, in the case of the Summa, he shouldn't have assumed that in the first place. She didn't deceive him, right? That should have been at least safek hikir ba. And therefore, Remeir says that Remeir's position is that once hikir ba, according to Rabbi Bar Chama, she's entitled to Summa Saim, and this is treated like hikir ba. Can I just step out, Benny? One more comment, just in all the same. I'm still bothered, actually, as I pointed out in my dialogue with Shua, about the three lines in three parts of the clause in the second Rashi. I think what threw me off, if the Rashis had been parallel, and the first Rashi had said that Baros la'iman uposkal salem she'enem besulos, therefore, im lo hodiatu etatu shebecheskas besula or becheskas enem besmukas eitz kenasa, I wouldn't have made the mistake. Right, and it's Rashi seems to be preoccupied with her not telling. Now, what you're saying, and you may be correct, is her not telling would have disabused him of what was his reasonable assumption. I mean, that's what I think threw me off. Okay, but so I think the simple way of explaining Rashi is that in the context of the sugya, Rashi assumes that in fact, I think it's not mukhrach, but I think it's obvious. Got to ask yourself another question. Why does Rashi do that?
Why does he read it
according to Rami Bar Chama? The answer is because the sugya said that it's Rami Bar Chama. Why? Because until you get into the Tosis's whole thing about what we're tining for her, the question is, why is the Gemara talking about the issue of Summa and Mukas Eitz and a regular Mukas Eitz? For Rami Meir, it shouldn't even be under discussion. If the issue is that she's a Mukas Eitz, and it's Rabbi Meir, Adam, precisely because it's Rabbi Meir talking. Why they even have a discussion? So Rashi may therefore assume that, of course, we're assuming the possibility for Rabbi Meir that a Mukas Eitz does lose her ksuba. And that can only be if you hold like Rami Bar Chama. I'm not saying that Tosos has another way of reading the Gemara. Right, Tosos, Kidarkoi Bakodesh, does not want to read two sugyas conflicting with another. And since the Maskanas HaGemara on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis seems to be like Rava, therefore, Tosos says, obviously it has to have a totally different shot. But Rashi, in a sense, you would agree that Rashi, in effect, does it kipshuta, right? In other words, one yesh latanis ein latanis besum means he's got no tainus. He shouldn't have expected it. Yesh latanis besum, he should have expected it, and he wins. So Rashi says that must be Rami Bar Chama.
How difficult would it be to read Tosfos' answer into Rashi?
Well, we'll come back to the moment. We haven't read the answer here, so we'll come back there. Yes, Daniel.
If we wanted to read Rashi the way you just suggested, does that mean that he would hold that this sugya somehow doesn't buy into the rejection of Rami Bar Chama?
Yes.
Meaning, but
yes, exactly.
Isn't that a pretty strong rejection?
So that's why I'm looking now again, just to see. Which, if he's, by the way, if he's doing that, so. So here, see, Benny, if you read Rashi the way I did, it would really work nicely that it's clearly working like Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama, the kasha is, why not be metaretz Rami Bar Chama? You know what the objection? Let me explain. What was the objection to Rami Bar Chama's position? Rami Bar Chama said that according to Rabbi Meir, hikir b'masayim lo hikir b'avalo klum. So they turn to the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Aleph, and the Gemara says, wait. The Mishnah says that he says, you slept with a man. She says, I'm a mukaseitz. Now, if Rami Bar Chama were correct, what kind of a taina is that? She might as well just slept with a man. So there could have been an answer for Rabbi Meir. You know what the answer could have been? That he only wants to give her 100. So Rashi rejected that. Why? Because he says, once it's a mekhato, she should get nothing. But the way I wanted to read Rashi here, which I still do, but I'm not sure I can, Rashi is suggesting that according to this sugya, the mere fact that he didn't know doesn't mean she gets nothing. In other words, a question is, according to Rashi, a suma, who turns out to be a mukaseitz, actually, according to our mayor's maskana there, it would be masayim, but if you hold like Rami Bar Chama, right, in other words, you could say, it requires a little bit working out, but you could say that Rashi perceived this brisa as being cholik on the sugya there. In other words, oh no, wait, the cat, hold on. No, the kasha there might only have been on the Rabbana, not Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah is the Rabbana, Mishnah Stam. So it could be, in other words, the kasha in the Gemara was not on Rabbi Bar Chama within Rabbi Meir. The kasha might have been Rabbi Bar Chama within the Rabbanan.
And therefore what?
And therefore the Inochanami, maybe according to Rabbi Meir, it could be Loklum. But the Gemara didn't want to say that the Mishnah on Daf. In other words, Rami Bar Chama said, Rami Bar Chama, no, you could accept Rami Bar Chama on Rabbi Meir and not on the Rabbanan.
But if there's no Dayan, then.
No, Rami Bar Chama said, according to both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, Lo Hikir Baba Lo Klum. The Gemara has a kasha that proves that Afil Lo Hikir Ba Yesh Lakum. But that might only be, maybe it's only the Chachamim.
When do we ever reject an opinion of an Amora, keep half of it?
Well, very frequently, the Gemara will, you have several times in Shas where the Gemara has an Amora who says two dinim, and they have a tufta on one half, and they say, Lema Tevinami tufta on the other half, and the Gemara will say, La Dafka. Or will say, yeah. So you can split his statement. You have to think about what it means conceptually, but I think you can split a statement.
But then when it says, Ella Amor Rava,
so
Rava said this in the face of...
Agreed, but so Rava might disagree anyway with Rami Bar Chama. But I'm just pointing out that the Bryce is not, the Mishnah that the Gemara quotes is not befeirish against Rami Bar Chama's understanding of Rabbi Meir. Zach.
Maybe you don't care about the maybe it doesn't really matter, but Rashi does say, Tiyuf to be Rami Bar Chama, Damar lo hekir ba divrei kol lo klum.
Well, correct, because it's not the Rei Kol. It's certainly somebody has to disagree. Somebody, at least, maybe not everybody, but it can't be different. I call the Hikar Bava Lo Klum.
And you want to say that only within the Rabban?
Maybe it's possible. It's possible, right? What I'm more interested in some way, I don't know if this is the answer for Rashi, but methodologically speaking, when Tosus asked the question, Tosus's question is predicated upon an assumption that Rashi in this sugya is working to be consistent with another sugya as well. And that doesn't have to be so. It's on thin ice here because it's a Mishnah that seems to point in that direction, but the Mishnah doesn't say Rabbi Meir. Right? The Mishnah doesn't say Rabbi Meir. Sam?
This might be also what Dave should have said, but kind of. And everyone else gets there so well, so evaluate it. But he says that Simchas holds like Simchas thinks Rameir holds like Rabbi Yeshua.
I thought about this particular issue. But then, why Taninan? It's not like Chereshes. Chereshes, it's for Rashi. For Rashi, it's possible. Summa is likely. But so I'll tell you what the problem with that is. The problem is then, You're going to have to say the Ra'ah. You're going to have to say Rav Pinchas Achi Ra'ah within that. Why? Because according to this Gemara, as Rashi and Tosis read it, as far as we know until now, do sumos fall more than regular women? Are they nechbatos more? No. No.
I think there's a
Rishon that said. I know. Rav Pinchas Achi Rav Aaron Alevi, the Ritva quotes, as saying that the Gemara's answer is twofold. A Suma has two strikes. Number one, she falls about in the tomb. When she falls and becomes a Mekaseh, she doesn't know. A regular girl doesn't fall so often. And if she did, she would have known. They're doing that because they assume, based upon a thinker, Yerushalmi, Mekaseh Tzlo Shchiach. So what do you, or some Gemara, somewhere. So the answer is, you're right, Mekaseh Tzlo Shchiach, except for in Sumas. But if you assume not like that, like Rashi and Tosfos seem to read, that Nechbetes is a common denominator, then Achereshes, if you're going to say, in other words, why is a Suma, Sam, believed according to Rabbi Yeshua? Why does a Suma have no tainus besulim? You're going to say, Rabbi Yeshua, any tainus she doesn't make, why would she be believed? If we're going to tain on her behalf, it has to be because if she would have said it, she would be believed.
Right.
Didn't we just say in the previous Suya, the Chereshes, that Rabbi Yeshua holds, you're not taninan, because even if she said it, we wouldn't believe her. So I'm suggesting the only possible teretz to that is that Chereshes is not likely to be Nechbetes, whereas a Suma is likely to be Nechbetes. Now, a Suma, Rabbi Yeshua would be Modeh, that since it's likely she falls a lot, therefore, it's not, she is Nemenes. She doesn't have to be riled for it, and we can be towing on her behalf as well. The only problem is the Gemara doesn't sound like there's a difference between the fall rates of a blind person and a seeing person. Unless you want to say that Rashi holds like Rav Pinchas Achi Ara'ah, that's part of the Gemara's teretz as well. But not just Kula Nechba, in other words, that she's more likely to fall. And Einon Roos, the Einon Maros Le'imon, right? Einon Roos, not the Dam, they don't see, they fall. And when they fall, they don't show anything to them others. If you want.
It must be that Rashi could. Just to make it simpler, that Rashi could be saying that any Suma, because she wouldn't be informed. Anytime you marry a Suma, since, whether it's more often or not more often, but since she is someone that she would never have been found out, you know when you're getting married to a Suma that there's always a chance that it happened and she never told anyone. However, there's an expectation that if she cited, that she should have told you.
And the fact that she didn't meant when you were Kones, it was Becheskas, not Mukaset. Agreed, that's what we said, Rashi is saying.
Yeah, but you don't need to add, I don't see a reason why you need to add.
No, it's only for.
It's more often.
It's only because the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua he's quoting suggests that the way to explain Rashi is that Remeir holds like Rabbi Yeshua.
Okay.
And the reason why. The reason.
We still believe there's no issue by the Mukas, by the Suma.
Yeah.
Because the Baal never should have expected that she was a full basula at this point. It's not that her, exactly almost as proves it. It's not that her taina wins b'chesas, because if she said b'chesas, it's not that her taina wins. It's just you didn't kind of
agree. But when
you don't need to make that expectation more powerful and throw in that extra shot.
But again, what I want to know is the following: does a suma fall more frequently than a chereshes?
I don't know. I don't need to say that.
No, it's crucial.
I think it's crucial
that she fall more than a chereshes.
Has no one said it yet? Until that rishon, no one had brought it up yet. So I'm going to say no.
That she falls the same frequency as a chereshes. So my question for you is, a chereshes...
Oh,
is not
going to
be... A chereshes, does she fall less frequently than a suma?
Since no rishon... The rishon really haven't... Since Rashi hasn't brought it up yet...
So let's say they fall the same rate.
Everyone falls at the same rate.
So tell me, a chereshes, do you expect her to tell them that she's a mukaseitz? No. So why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua accept it there? The Gemara's whole point is, the reason why Rabbi Yeshua says that yesh lo tanis besulim for the chereshes is, the way Rashi explained, is because we are not going to be towing on her behalf.
Compared to chereshes, you have to make suma different.
That's what was bugging me. I don't care about the seeing people.
Yeah.
Right? But I assume that a chereshes is not blind, so she doesn't fall more frequently. Unless you want to say, but she has ear problems, so that's a hearing problem, not an inner ear balance problem.
But still, that's not the claim. No one said there, well, she falls more often.
Right.
No one had said that.
Correct.
So, yes.
So that's why I think you have to say.
It's also just so if you, they would fall more often. It's just,
I know it is. So you have to. But the Gemara doesn't necessarily sound like that.
So I think.
So if you say that for Rashi, then the Pnei Yeshua's teretz could work.
If you read Viros, like before, Ra'os, they are cited, Vimaros Le'iman, and they do tell their parents it's two separate parents.
I just said that. I said that Pavlo. If you read it as a Einam Ra'os, is they don't see, so they fall.
Said that yesterday, of Einam Roet, one is she's not sighted.
Now
two,
I don't need to quibble. I just said about Einam Roet means she doesn't see what she's doing, so she falls more often. And I understand when she falls, she doesn't show it to her mother.
Read that on the earlier line also, not just in the last line. You can also read that into the earlier line. I mean, you read that into the blind girl's line.
Sure, you can read. Fine, perfect. Agreed. You can read into both. Yes. Okay, so that's a possible teretz as well. Yes.
I don't understand why.
What the Pnei Yeshua is suggesting, from what I understand, having not seen it inside, suggesting that Rabbi Meir actually holds like Rabbi Yoshua. Which is why, by a regular girl, even if she said Mukas Eitzani after the fact, she's not Nemenes. Lomi Pianu Chaim. Achetavi Raya Vareha. Hareza Becheskes Drusasish. Right, but when it comes to a Summa, even Rabbi Yoshua agrees that we are towing on her behalf. That we assume if he discovers she's not a Basula, we assume it's because of Mukaseitz, because it's much more, and because she's not going to know to tell him otherwise.
This was
Adin's question. Well, Lo Hikir Ba applies only.
No.
Obviously, Lo Hikir Ba there assumes, like the Rabbi Gamliel, that we believe her. It's within the context of believing a woman that we can now talk about. We believe what she's in Mukaseitz, but whether he knew or didn't know. You mean what about in that sugya? What about, and let's say she were to bring proof. For Rabbi Yeshua, all you need is proof. So you could say that sugya, Bein Hikirba, Bein Hikirba, is if she brought proof that she was a Mukaseitz. That would be Lo Hikirba. Okay? Whereas here, she doesn't have proof. But a Summa, we can accept anyway that when he got married, he should have assumed such a thing. And presumably because a Summa is more likely to happen with. And if it happened, you know, I think, right, you need that for the Chereshes. You don't need it internally. You need it because of the Chereshes. Right? But fundamentally, you just say, without having to explain what I did about Chereshes, just say that here Rabbi Yeshua says that if she's a Summa, the assumption was when they got married, he should have realized she was a Mukaseitz. It's not like there's any deception in the first place that he can turn around and say, you're not a Basula, and she say, and we have to decide whether to believe her or not. We assume going in, she wasn't a Basula, and he should have assumed that also.
I still don't see why Rabbi Yeshua is irrelevant.
We have to explain why, according to Rashi, if Bein Hikir Ba, Bein Lo Hikir Ba, if Bein Hikir Ba, Bein Lo Hikir Ba, according to Rami, if she gets Masayim, what Shayech Mekach Tos by a seeing person? Right? If you're not holding Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, if she says Mukaseitzan, because that's what happened, then for Rabbi Meir, it's not a Tos, or it's not a Tos that is material. So for Rabbi Yeshua, it's material because unless she can prove that, which let's assume she can't, she doesn't need those for this, so then she is Becheskas Drusas Isha Chetavi Raya Dvarel. The only exception for Rabbi Yeshua is a Summa. A Summa knows a regular woman, the fact that she didn't. Knows if a regular woman, before they get married, says Mukaseitzani, she's Nemenis. I don't think anybody would. If he says to Mukaseitzani, he decides, I'm going to marry you anyway, he can't turn around, find shit on the stool, and say, you know what? I think you were a Drusasish. I don't think it's just because he's Mocha. I think it's because her Nemenis works there halachically. So Rabbi Yeshua would say, though, but if she didn't say anything at the time she got married, and presumably she knew, so then, I even say it like this, Rabbi Yeshua says she's not in a menace until she proves it. But a Summa, part of Rabbi Yeshua, I mean, it's not the only piece for Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua theoretically argues both when his claim is something happened after Erison and something happened before Erison. Right, the shot in the Mishnah could be when she says Mukaseitzani, it means before he got married. And that's certainly how the Gemara read it. And he says, Drusas Ishat. So Rabbi Yeshua says the fact that she didn't say anything before the marriage forfeits her nemanos. So by Summa, he doesn't say that. Because by Summa, we know why she didn't say anything, because she didn't know. It's plausible that she had no idea. when she says afterwards, or we're towing her back afterwards, you know what? Blind people stumble a lot. It's very likely. If she says, I never slept with a man before, and I don't know why you're not finding blood, so we're going to say, yeah, because she probably fell enough times that she's a bukaseitz.
And why is that part necessary?
Well, you have to explain for why, because how can you be towing her something on her behalf that she's not in a manasan if she said it herself? You have to explain why for Rabbi Yoshua she and for Rabbi Yoshua, you have to explain why in the case of a sumo she would be in a menace if she said Mukas Eitzani after the fact.
Well, she's not saying Mukas Eitzani after the fact.
We're saying for her. But presumably...
Chazak, it's a different situation. And it's Clint being Tonin on law on her behalf.
As the Gemara said earlier on Lamed Vav Amin Aleph, Tanina only works if it's a Taina that if she had advanced, she would have been believed.
But I don't think it's the same thing as a Chazak. We just assume all the sumos are going to be... Are
going to
be a
close eight. No, I agree. We assume that most sumas are going to be that way. And a suma who gets married, having said nothing, turns out not to be a basula. Our assumption is going to be she's going to be a mukas eight. That's what. And, but
it's
but
not a taina we make on her behalf. It's a chazaka. We just tell the guy.
It's a taina.
Why?
We have to, because we have to explain something. Agree. So we explain to him.
The
chazaka is why we can advance that taina. That's the whole point.
Would you say the same thing if he came to Basin before he married her and says, "This, I'm going to marry this Suma"? Would you,
we would probably tell him, you're probably going to find she's not a Basula. Here the point is she didn't, they got married. Now he comes and claims she wasn't the Basula. So Rabbi Yoshua says, yes, we explained to them the following. If she's not advancing a claim, but let's say she were to advance a claim, and she were to say, Mukas Eitzani, would Rabbi Yoshua believe her or not? The answer is yes. But ordinarily, when a regular woman comes to Beis Din, didn't say anything, the husband says, you're not a psul, and she says, Mukas Eitzani, we don't believe her. Why? So the answer is, because a suma must be becheskas Mukas Eitz. Why is a regular single-eyed woman not becheskas, if they all fall, why is she not becheskas Mukas Eitz?
Because she would have told her.
Because she would have said something.
Right.
She would have said something. She should have said something because he knew that she knew that she was a mukaseit. And the fact that she didn't say anything, he assumed, because she's not a mukaseit. By assuma, he can't work with that assumption. So when she comes later and said, when she comes later and he says she's not a psula, even without her saying, we're willing, if she were to say, I must be that I'm a mukaseit, and we'll say on our behalf that. Why? Because it's a chazaka that she falls all the time. My question was then, what about going back to the Gemara and Chayrashas? Well, the Gemara said, according to Rabbi Yoshua, we cannot taninan on our behalf, which means if she said it herself, she can't. She wouldn't be believed. But why not if Chayrashas falls? And obviously she's not going to have the presence of mind to know that she's a mukaseit. That's why I said, I think that the answer has to be, like Pinchas Achi Rav Aaron Halevi, which is, if you want to read Rashi, as the Pnei Yeshua does, that he's reading Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yoshua, then you have to say that Dafka Asuma falls all the time, as opposed to any seeing-eyed woman, Chereshes or not. Then you can explain why by a Chereshes, there's not a Chazaka that she fell and lost the Basulim, according to Rashi. As opposed to Asuma, you can say that. That's why Rabbi Yoshua would distinguish between the two. We know by Chereshes, he says, Lo Tanina Lo. Sam.
To complicate this answer, though, it's not a new complication.
Yeah,
That part, like the Summa, like part of the Gemara, we said it was really only Leo, not really Yeshua.
What do you mean?
Meaning the part, not Christ, Yeshua, Tumagaras, Mukates, Ainla, Tan, Sulin, wasn't the majority, he said that it was only Leo.
Chereshes, but then Rabbi Meir comes along. Sum Chosom, Mishum Rabbi Meir.
No, all of those part of the same.
No, because Reb Meir is the next line. If Reb Meir did not hold that by Heresha, Sumchus presumably would also have to argue and say Reb Meir disagreed with both. So to say that Reb Meir held like Rabbi Yoshua in that scenario would require...
No, you're right. He should have, if Reb Meir disagreed, if he thought that Rabbi Yoshua... if he's talking about Rabbi Yoshua, if he disagreed, he should have said Heresha's... So presumably, if he thought that she there was time to assume against the Chereshes because she's not a faller, then he should have said so.
Yeah,
that's all.
Okay.
Fine. So now we have to. For those of you prepared and followed, so Milchamta Teshuva Torah is mevarer things. It makes things much, much clearer.
Okay, so let's read the end of Tosos. The near the ring. So far, there's no chiddush, right? Now, here's the chiddush. Ulahachi. Which means I've never had bia. And but she doesn't say mukas eitz, honey. Okay, so the assumption is in that case, if she says besula yisi, and she has not advanced the taina, but she doesn't say mukas eitz, honey. She says I never slept with a man. We know she's not a besula because he is either believed, he has proof. Let's say the sheet. We're not going to advance the taina on her behalf. Maybe she's a mukaseitz, because if she's a mukaseitz, she should be saying so, because she should know. Therefore, we're not going to suggest to her that taina. Ein lano litlos b'mukaseitz, shem kein ha'se ameris mukaseitz ani. V'chilo amra. Right, and because she's not a besula, he wins. He is entitled to assume that she's a besula. If she's not a mukaseitz, and she's not a basula, then she's got a problem. Right? But maybe she's a mukaseitz. The answer is, if she doesn't say she's a mukaseitz, we're not going to assume that for her, and therefore she's going to lose the case. Aval. Right. In other words, so Suma, we say, it could very well be that she's a mukaseitz. That's why. She says she's not a basula, and yet the sheet has no blood. That's not a stira. Because we know it's not a stira by any woman. It's theoretically she could be a mukaseitz, but a regular woman should know she's mukaseitz, and if that's what happened, she should say that. And the fact that she doesn't means she's not claiming to be mukaseitz. She's claiming to be a basula, and we know she's not a basula. Therefore, she loses. But Suma doesn't know that she would have become a mukaseitz. And therefore, if she says, I never had bia, and he says, the sheet shows you're not a basila, we say, yeah, she's a mukaseitz. That would explain it. And we didn't expect her to say it because she wouldn't know. Okay. So yes, as Shua pointed at the beginning, Tosis and Rashi sort of invert positions here. Right here, Rashi understands that ein latinus basulim, or Yeshan's Basulim, is he shouldn't have expected her to be a Basula. Tosa says that if it turns out she's not a Basula, in one case we're towing on her behalf, even though she doesn't say anything. In the other case, if she doesn't say anything, we're not towing on her behalf, namely, you know, the regular seeing eyed woman, you know, seeing woman. Yes, Shua.
Can we read this answer? I love how there's a bracket here, where if you take out that bracket, it reads very close to what Rashi does say. And I wonder if we can just really read the re as an answer for Rashi, and that this is exactly what Rashi means. Meaning, for instance...
No, show 1 second. You can't take out what's in the brackets because...
I'm not taking out what's in the brackets. I'm saying the re certainly is putting what's in the brackets.
Right.
You realize, what the re is putting in the brackets is nowhere in the Gemara either. Right? The re is saying...
Correct, like, correct.
Picture what would happen. If you picture what would happen, this is basically... like the fact that she makes it... that she puts a timeless basula. No, I really was. The fact that she responds, no, really, I was a basula. Now is her time in response, and that's why she would lose. There's certainly nowhere in the
correct.
Nowhere, right? If she would have just said anything else, she would have won.
Okay.
I feel like the same way he's making that Umkipta in the Gemara. I wonder if you can really just make that Umkipta into Rashi and just be that this is what he means when he says v'hatas, like v'hataso. That's what that would be. Like, there's no reason why I don't see why this can't just be a reading of Rashi almost. And he's just adding, and this is what it means to hit that tone. Or like, if you say that, she would say this. Like, it almost reads exactly, like Rashi taking out the brackets, is most of the words exactly as it is in Rashi. And he's just putting that brackets in. I certainly believe the Re is saying those brackets. I think
right.
It's basically Rashi plus those brackets. It's not that he's rejecting Rashi.
No, except for that Rashi, for Rashi, it has nothing to do with Ta'us.
What does that do with Ta'us?
In other words, for Rashi, the issue about Mukaseitz is not that she was Hitatu, that she deceived him about being a Mukaseitz. It's that she's not a Mukaseitz, it's that she's a Ba'ula, Mamish. That's what the Re is saying.
If you look at Rashi, Yeah, I believe that's what
the Ria
is saying.
Ria is saying that she's a ba'ula. We believe she's a ba'ula because we're not going to advance, suggest to her that she's saying mukaseitan if she doesn't say it. And we know she's not a ba'ula, so she must be ba'ula. But Rashi, that's nothing to do with tos. That actually was that she misacted. Whereas Rashi is saying that in lo ho di atu.
It would be a tos whether she's a ba'ula or not, right? If she was a ba'ula, it would still be called a tos.
No, I understand, but Rashi is saying for what generated the toast, lo ho di atu. Not letting him know she was a mukas eitz meant she deceived him into thinking that she was a psula shlema. According to Tosfos, it was the act of bia, the presumed act of bia, because she's not a mukas eitz, because she doesn't say so. She's not a psula, because the sheet says so. So obviously, she's a drusasish.
But I think it would also mean now, if you didn't tell her about Mukas Eitz, then we can assume the worst. But yeah. It doesn't read, I think it reads just as not well as my prod. I mean, the same way I fit my prod, I wonder if you can fit his prod.
I'm not so sure. Okay. Fine. So that's what Tosa says. Any comments about that? Okay.
I just have a question like that.
It's fine.
What's the Shehen Gulos and when Tosis quoted Rashi? Is that just like a mistake?
It means not Besulos.
But it doesn't mean that.
What?
Do you think Tosis wrote that? Or is it just like it's supposed to mean that?
I think that's what Tosis means. It's just shorthand. I don't know why.
Not shorter.
It's two letters shorter. Two thin letters.
My suggestion during Seder was that Tosis is subtly making another dig at Rashi that he's not working with Henry. That his attack at Rashi is clearly not working with Henry.
Mayor, right. Okay, I don't know.
The only place that Tosis does this, though. Like, I remember the previous stop was frosting Chazaka Shah. So the Chazaka Shaino is to look, and then Tosis is saying Chazaka
Bulula. Uh huh. I don't know. Okay, so let's move on just a little bit. Last line, let's just read the Gemara. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Tomorrow you can start, and I'm going to make a recommendation to you. The first thing you want to do is really run through from the Mishnah until the two dots on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Lo Nefcha Yafa Yafa. There are a lot of things to discuss here, a whole lot of things. But first start by going through the Gemara. Go through it slowly and carefully. Okay, but in the meantime, Hayotzeis mishum shem ra, ein lo knas velo pitui. Okay, thank you, Adir. Chaim. So the Gemara asked, the assumption was, what do you think Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra means? Is the husband divorces her because of bad rumors running around about her. What would you have said?
That
when the Torah talks about Motzi Shemra, it's the girl in that case. She's dead. Yeah. Well, that's the Gemara's Kasha, maybe. I already know the Mishnaic stuff. Right? Motzi is Ishtar Mishum, you know, Shemra doesn't mean he has Edom that she committed adultery. It means the Shmos.
That's Gossip Roundtown.
What's that?
Gossip
Roundtown. Gossip Roundtown, yeah. So that ultimately would be the Gemara's answer, but that, I would have assumed that in the first place. Which is a chiddush.
Why does the Mishnah say that?
Yeah. Hamotzi es ishto mishum shem ra mishum nedar mishnayisin.
We ask the same question, don't we?
No. Gittin in the fourth parak.
Doesn't this question appear back on the devil we just talking about? That's the. We asked this question before. We say there's a brisa that talks about motzi shem ra. We say, what do you mean? Should I ask you anything?
This isn't. No, this is the same thing. It's just from the previous Amud.
Yeah, here it is.
You're out of the base. The bright side. What the? You're based on the base?
You're out of the base.
Yeah, no, I know, I understand that. That's the Torah's Motzi Shemra. That's a technical thing. But usually, Yotzeis Mishum Shemra, firstly, a woman who's Yotzeis Mishum Shemra, you don't need to divorce your wife if she committed adultery. They take care of her for you. You don't need to spend the money on the Pshite de Safra, right, or the, on the Schar HaSofer.
But we just asked the same question on the Torah's Motzi Mishum Shemra. He sends her out because
of Shemra.
He doesn't send her out. He gives her
a skiva. No. Hotzi Allah Shemra means he brings out a bad name for her. It doesn't mean Hotzi Ha'otzia.
Well, then why are you changing the... It's the same word. It's how you would say it. It's the woman.
That's a great pun. That's a great pun. It means two totally different things here. The Hotzi Allah, to me, Motzi Shemra on someone means to bring out a rumor on someone or a shmua on someone. That's the way the Torah uses it. When they say Amotzias Ishto Mishum Shemra, it means he divorces her. Yotzi V'yitein Tzuba. So when you read Hayotzis Mishum Shemra, that means she was divorced. She left her husband's house. V'yotze Ami Beso. Because why did he divorce her? Because she was a naughty girl. They said bad things about her. She'd hang out with the boys. Okay? So the Gemara says, "Where initially thinks like you did, Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra."
I think rightfully so. It's just borrowing the Torah's lashon.
No, but there are numerous Mishnayos that say Hamotzeis Ishto Mishum Shemra doesn't mean he's motzi laws against her or true laws against her. It means he divorces her because of this, just like you are a contentious bunch.
Only that side of the room.
No, you were just egging him on in Seder, so he would go off on me. That's all. Okay, you were waiting to see. It was like, you know, the vultures circling for the kill.
No, I went to them first, because I couldn't understand Rashi at all.
Mishnah Benhamed Beis. Hamotzias Ishto Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir. Mishum Neda Lo Yachzir. So Hamotzias Ishto Mishum Neda. What does that mean? He gets up and announces she's a Nadronis? No, it means he divorces her because of it. That's what it means here. That's very clear. I never thought about it. You're pointing out that there's a great pun. You know, a double entendre, right? Because motzi, hotzi ala shemra, hamotzi ishto mishum shemra. I mean, by nidorim, it doesn't really work. It may be totally unintended. Okay, so anyway, the Gemara says, hayotzi ishto mishum shemra. So amar av sheshes. So what does that exactly mean anyway?
someone wanted to say
some had a funny pshat here. They thought it meant that she was mefuta when she was an eshes ish with the first bia. Because she was still a katana, let's say, but her father was Makadesh, or so they wanted to say that a Yotzei Shmishum Shemra in Luknas Velo Pitoi, so they wanted to say that Baskila Yikam Lebed Rabamine. He gets killed, so he doesn't take Knas, of course. Tosus didn't like that. But Pashtus is Baskila, he, I think some of the Mishonim say, Tosus must say that also, that she's Be'ula. In other words, if the assumption right now is there are Edom, that she committed adultery, so of course Ein Lo Knas, if she is, you know, let's say she didn't get killed, but now she goes, she's single still, let's say her father married her off, now she is a Kitana still, and she never had relations with her husband, but she had relations with another man, so she's a Ba'ula. That's what the Gemara means when it says Baskilahi. In other words, she's Baskila, of course she's not a Basula, of course there's no Knas. So the Gemara says, Amar... Rav Sheshes. Yes, sir.
How does that work within the words of Yotzeis Mishum Shemra?
Well, how do you think?
I don't think.
He's reading it with the biblical connotation. Misha Yotza Olao Shemra. Instead of the Hifil, he uses the Kal. That's like Yotzi Olao Shemra.
So is he
Isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? That's really ironic. Hayotzeis mishum shemra, which is mashma that the rabbanon yotza with shemra. The Gemara thinks that that means that she's the motzi shemra daraisa, or baskila. And now the Gemara turns around and says, no. It's talking about not the Torah's motzi shemra. It's talking about a woman with a bad reputation, and she's rumored to have acts. And now they use the Torah's yotza. Misha Yatza Allah Shemra. And instead of, there wasn't a man who was Motzi Shemra, rumors started running about her.
Is he going back into the, Brisa and changing the Lashon of Brisa? Is he explaining?
He's explaining what it meant.
Okay, but Yotze just can't mean that. I mean,
correct. As formulated, every Hachikamah means it's, I'm not sure it's an emendation, but it's a suggested reread. Okay, this is what it means. Misha Yatza Allah Shemra B'yodu Se'en Lo Knas V'lo Pitus. Amara Papa. So if you have a shtara rea, it means a weakened shtar, it's like ra'ua, so you're not allowed to use it to collect. So now, we're not going to go further now. Tomorrow we have to just finish this up. The Gemara is going to talk about what does it mean a shtara rea, and how does this compare to the rumors about a girl. Because you know, rumors have a way of taking on a life of their own. And you know that sometimes people who don't like people spread rumors about them. So just because there are rumors running around that she's a little bit loose, well, that could be because, you know, she and a couple of her friends got into a cat fight with several other girls, and the other girls started running around spreading rumors about her inappropriate behavior, which might not be true. So the question, of course, is when does the halacha take into account a shmur or a cult? It's a larger, we're not going to deal with that at great length, but that is sort of the question here. So the Gemara is going to talk about that, both in the context of the Yotzeis Bishum Shemra, and in the context of Shtar Areya. What does it mean that a Shtar has been somewhat undermined? Okay.